Psalm 34. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are those who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. Come, children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Who can't wait each day to come upon beauty? Guard your tongue from profanity, and no more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin, do something good. Embrace peace, don't let it get away. God keeps an eye on his friends. His ears pick up every moan and groan. God won't put up the rebels. He'll cull them from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked right in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He is your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to him loses out.
I hope you don't mind me shaking things up a bit, but that was a translation from the Message of Psalm 34. But I just felt that it was really to the point and clear about how we should be praising God. Amidst a whole load of other things, something we found to be really present in India was how much a person's religion defines who they are. So whilst over here we found sort of conversation, you talk to someone and quite often the topic quite quickly turns to, so what is it that you do? In India, people actually are sort of more focused on what your religion is. So it didn't matter whether you were Hindu or Christian or Muslim, but they would be so sort of they would really, really want to know what your religion was and what your faith was and why your faith was like that. And I think that today, certainly within British society, religion is a pretty taboo subject. I think we live in a world which constantly seems to be making snap judgments about people, whether it's about the way they look or their background or possibly the people that they hang around with. And I know for me, and I'm sure it's pretty similar to a lot of you who are in school at the moment, being a Christian at school is tough. It's really tough. And spending so much time in an environment where, as a Christian, you're actually part of a minority can be really difficult. And it took me a long time to feel comfortable and confident in my faith, so that when somebody asked me on a Monday morning, oh, what did you do over the weekend? Or what did you do yesterday? I could actually say, oh, well, I went to church. Planting that initial seed of in my friends' minds was a really big step for me. But I realise now that actually it should never have been an issue, really. It shouldn't have been something that I was ever ashamed of, because actually it is something to shout about. You saw earlier on a short video of some of the children singing at the beginning of the day. Well, I'm now going to show you a video of a guy called Prodeep. He's the principal of Hattie Bagan, which is the school we worked at while we were out there. And he's probably the most hardworking, enthusiastic, amazing guy that we've ever met. He really did live and breathe GNCEM. If he wasn't at school with us, he was at hostels, or he was working at the office, or he was doing this thing called Kids Games, which was like this big sports thing for children from the streets and slums around Calcutta. And his day started at some ridiculous hour, like 6 o'clock, and he didn't get back till sort of 9 or 10 every single day. It really was kind of Monday to Sunday for him, really, because GNCEM did a lot of stuff at the weekend as well. So it was a really, really big part of the organisation, and he did a lot of things that he didn't really have to do. I'm just going to show you the video. As you can see, this guy's a little bit of a legend. he provided us with a heck of a lot of entertainment while we were away. This video was actually taken one afternoon when we visited the boys' hostel. We'd all been in school that morning, and Pradeep had decided to come along with us in the afternoon to see how some of the boys were doing, because some of the boys that we taught at Hattie Began had gone up into the boys' hostel and actually had a home, which was really, really cool. And we arrived there and we were shown into the chapel, and we were guests, really. And yet Pradeep gets up to the front and gets a load of kids up, and then, well, you saw what happened. And this was for probably about 20 minutes, half an hour. He was just up with a microphone, jumping around the whole time with these kids and just sort of pulling them around. It was, pretty, pretty cool. While we were away, we wrote a lot of blogs and a few articles for Team Talk. And I think probably the most used phrase that we used that came to mind when we were talking about people in India was how they might be physically poor, but they're really very spiritually rich. And this spiritual richness extended really to every part of their life. They may have seemed to have nothing. They lived on the streets or within small slums. They struggled to make ends meet so that they could have enough food for each day. And yet when you saw how eager they were to praise God, you would think that they had everything in the world. And they were just so quick to be grateful, and they were so quick to thank God for the things that he's provided for them. And it's safe to say that they never, ever repressed any feelings that they felt about how great God is. I want to replay the video again, and this time I just want to ask you to focus on the words that Pradeep is singing. Did anyone catch what he was saying at all? Anybody?
I'm so happy, and I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Yeah, that's right. Wonderful. There was really so much joy in people's hearts out there, and it was so irrepressible, and it was joy that nobody ever seemed to be ashamed of. They would worship, and they would dance, and they would shout praises at the tops of their voices because they knew in their hearts that they had something to be grateful for. And that was something we really learned while we were over there, just watching a guy who just had given his life over to God, and who had something so special inside him that he didn't have the kind of almost the British awkwardness of sort of feeling like you can't express themselves. He really did encourage the children to live their faith and to not be ashamed of who's watching, but to actually just praise God in the way that they wanted to praise God. While we were out there, we also spent one day a week working in a place called Sonaghachi. This is actually one of the largest red light districts in India. And some of you may have heard me tell this story before, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I'll just give you a bit of a context to the atmosphere of the area. I thought I'd share a little bit about how we felt on the first day. We were taken sort of just to one side before we entered what they call the main lane. And Emma, who's the woman who heads up the organisation we worked with, their Grandma's Trust, took us aside and just said, okay, guys, just to prepare you that you might feel a bit of a rush of emotions and it might be really hard to walk through this area, but just keep walking and we'll talk about it when we get to the building the other side. And I think we all looked at each other, especially the boys, and we're like, whatever. And how could this really affect us? We're just walking through a street and we've already seen so much in Kolkata. How can anything be worse than what we've already seen? But we walked through, and as we walked through, we glanced at the women and we kind of saw the pain in their eyes and the emptiness inside them. And when we got to the building that Grandma's Trust owned in the middle of Sonaghachi, we all sat down, and I know my eyes were kind of welling up, and we all just sat there for a minute, and I think the word that kind of came to mind was darkness. For years and years, I've watched things like Comic Relief and documentaries where people talk about going into such areas of oppression. And I don't think I would ever say that they're a good area at all, but I don't know... when you see celebrities getting all upset over areas like that, we're all kind of like, oh, why are you making such a big deal about it? Like, can't be that bad. But actually, we all sat in that room and we thought, oh my goodness, this is terrible. This is evil, really. It sounds really cliche, but it was. It was an area of such evil. There were so many things that, while we were over there, we got used to, whether it was the food or whether it was some of like the cultural traditions, whether it was the weather. But something that we never adjusted to was that time that we walked through the red light district every week to Grandma's Trust. It was really, really tough. It was a really tough area, definitely. But one Sunday that really stuck in my mind for when we were over there was when we went along to a small Sunday service that Emma had organised. And it was happening more regularly as we were there. And we were suddenly aware, everything was in Bengali, but we were aware that they were just praising God. And it was this tiny, tiny complex of rooms, a tiny, tiny space, probably maybe, I don't know, half the size of the stage here. And it was crammed full of women and children who the organisation had managed to reach out to. And they were praising God, and they didn't care that there were two white girls standing at the side, kind of like, whoa. They were just completely fixed on God, and nothing around them mattered. No, there was no, well, if you looked at them, you wouldn't have thought that they lived in such an oppressed area. They were just absolutely letting loose and praising God, and weren't ashamed of praising God. And we were aware at one point that, although it was all in Bengali, people were going, Donabad, Donabad, Donabad. And that means thank you, thank you, thank you. And they were saying thank you to God for things that had happened in their week. And one of the girls actually got up and said, Donabad, I'll translate now into English, but thank you for that Hannah and Hannah have come today, because I've not been able to come to Kids Club for the last few weeks. And it's really lovely to see them. And we kind of stood there and we were like, oh my goodness, wow, kind of these kids that have grown up in such an oppressed and hard area are thanking God for so much, and they're so quick to be grateful, and they're so quick to express their praise. And I think that for us, that was a really, really humbling experience. I think to sort of put it into two things, it struck us how the women who were really the lowest of the low in society, and they had the most difficult lives, they still felt that they had so much to be grateful for, and B, that they were so free and they were so open about expressing their praises. So I guess to summarise, this is a point where I've become even more of a rebel because I've only got 2 points, not 3, so I'm really sorry. being in India gave me countless opportunities to see how God should be enough for us. And how much we have to be grateful for. He's given us food, he's given us clothes, he's given us family and friends and homes and so much more. But above all, he's given us the opportunity to be filled with his love and have a life that through Jesus is eternal, and living around people who live their lives for God and know that they have the most precious gift of all in their hearts was so incredibly humbling, and it really made me think about what I have to shout about, really. And secondly, it's really taught me not to be ashamed of my faith. I'm sorry that we kind of made you all get up and sing and be a bit sort of out there this morning, but I think I spent so many years feeling like I couldn't be open about my faith because I thought that it would make me uncool. But looking back, I wish I had had that mindset of that the Indians have, of not having any inhibitions. Because after all, if it's God who's the big guy, then surely his is the only opinion that matters. And so whilst I know that I've still got a long way to go in terms of being as free as the Christians out there, something I really want to keep with me is the mindset that if I want to praise him, then that's what I'll do. So Yeah, I guess to wrap this up, I thought, I'm really sorry, I'm going to be even more of a rebel. And I'm going to slightly alter what Psalm 34 says in the opening three verses. What I've done is I've just slightly changed the wording so that it's more of a command. I think it's one that David wrote about, like, I'll do this and I'll do that. But I think that it could actually be turned around to be more of an instruction of how to praise God and how to not worry about what other people were thinking. Because if you want to praise him in that way, then you praise him in that way. Always thank the Lord. Never stop praising him. Praise him for what he has done. Listen, all of you who are oppressed, and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us praise his name together.